Welcome back to the Better Living Radio Program. My name is Peter Lewis, and with me is Cassil Lewis. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at www.christianhealtheducation.com for more information on health. Today we would like to speak to you about water. Now, a continuous supply of water is needed for all living things. Man can live up to 6 weeks without food, but only a few days without water. Now, every cell of the body needs water. In fact, water makes up about 70% of our total body weight, so indeed it must be important. No wonder our Savior in John 7 and verse 37 said, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." And in John 4:14 he said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Friends, the most important thing in this life is to be able to drink of that water that Jesus gives so freely to all of us. Now, in order to appreciate that water even more, we want to talk with you about the physical water today. Water is plain H2O, two hydrogen and one oxygen atom. And water can basically be divided into two different groups, regarded as hard water. There's some water that are hard and some water that are soft. Now, hard water can easily be recognized by the inability or the difficulty of producing a good lather when you use the soap. This is normally due to the presence of other minerals or salts within the water, such as calcium. Some people are familiar with that in their well water system or in other different water. The water is just so hard that it's dry. You don't need very much to dry yourself after shower. Now, other substance that may affect the water's hardness or softness is chlorine. Some chlorine in the water could help to not only make it a little harder, but also other factors.
Now, chlorine is a yellowish green gaseous element of suffocating odor. It is a disinfectant, a discolorant, and an irritant poison. It is used for disinfecting, fumigating, and bleaching, either in water purification or in medicine. Chlorine is suffocating. It kills. If it is a disinfectant, it has an odor, and an odor suffocates. If it is put in our drinking water as a disinfectant, it again can kill. Now, if you live in a city with chlorinated water, remember that chlorine accumulates in your system. At times, the concentration may be so great you can actually smell the chlorine, and those of us who have lived in the city have experienced that. Another element also that is put into water is fluorine, and fluorine causes cancer. Now, there were some studies done in Japan showing that the exposure of normal cells to fluorine transforms them into cancerous cells. And in a book, Water and Health, it tells us and it gives us some symptoms of the effects of fluorine on the system. And some symptoms are tiredness and weakness, pains of sensation, kidney and bladder disorders, constipation, vomiting, especially mucus, itching after bath, brittle nails, sinus disorders, excessive thirst, headache, arthritis, gum diseases, nervousness, diarrhea, loss of hair, skin disorders, stomach disorders, numbness in hands, Charlie horse, mouth ulcers, and disturbed vision. So for those of us who are drinking water with fluorine and chlorine, that could be part of our problem.
But we're not saying here that if a person has these symptoms that it's automatically due to chlorine or fluorine. We're just saying that this is another thing that one might want to look into as possible causes. It's definitely not a good substance, and there are some areas where people use ozone to purify their water system. Now, there's also what is known as soft water, as I mentioned earlier. Water is soft or hard in degrees. In other words, some water may be soft, another may be a little softer, and so on and so forth. The end of the spectrum of one end is distilled water. Steam distilled water is the softest. Then we have some spring water may be soft, depending on how much minerals or substance is being carried in the water. Rain water is natural, nature's distilled water. However, as it descends back upon earth, there are contaminants that get carried into that water, so it no longer is a pure system. But distilled water right now is the purest form and the softest form. But it's important just to be able to drink water. That's our message this afternoon.
Now, water requirements for one day are in the vicinity of 20 milliliters per pound of body weight, or 44 milliliters per kilogram per day. Now, that figures out to be about 10 to 12 glasses per day. And the reason for this is that the blood and the brain are each about 4/5 water, while the fluid secretions and the excretions contain more than 9/10 of the weight of this fluid. Now, the blood fluid, of which a person weighing 150 pounds has about 10 pounds or 5 quarts, which is 92% water. The red corpuscles are 65% water. The white corpuscles are 70% water. The body cells, 80% water. The protoplasm, 75%. The saliva, about 3 pints daily, which is 99%. The gastric juice and the pancreatic juice, 98-99%. The liver bile, nearly 2/3 quart daily, which is 99%. And the brain is 85% water. The nerves, 75% water. The heart, 70%. The lungs, 75%. The liver, 70%. And the kidneys, 80%. And this was taken from Uses of Water by Dr. Harvey Kellogg, MD.
So water is definitely a very important commodity in the economy of our body. Definitely when you look at the digestive system and function, so much water is required. And people do not consume hardly enough water. As we continue our discussion, we'll see more.
Now, water is used in the body for all different kinds of function. Water is the body's solvent. In cooperation with chemicals, it breaks down the food, and it is the medium of chemical activity in the body. Water is the medium in which all living matter functions. It is a lubricant of all moving joints, and we know every one of us have joints. It is the medium of exchange of all life-giving supplies from one point to another until they reach the cells, and of all waste from one point to another until they are excreted. So without it, the blood would not move. The blood wouldn't be able to carry those nutrients that the body needs. It is the regulator of body temperature. The blood are what we term water cooled. Violent effort continued for 20 minutes could generate enough heat to coagulate the albuminous substances in our body. Harding, in his book, he mentioned an experiment that was done in a 1942 expedition to the desert. The endurance of men was tested. Men working in the heat were found to be especially susceptible to exhaustion. But when they drank sufficient water, it proved to be both an effective preventive and a cure. Two groups of infantry men, 20 in each group, were taken on a march in the heat of the day. Trucks with water followed them. The men in one group were allowed all the water they wanted, while the others received none. 7 of the 20 non-drinkers became exhausted and had to drop out. But only one of the water drinkers was unable to complete the march.
So water has a tremendous effect upon a person's ability to endure. Once again, water helps the blood to flow, helps the transportation of oxygen and nutrients to the body. So you can see the blood getting thicker, the person who is active, needing more oxygen, is not able to receive that oxygen for energy production. So indeed, we want to make sure that we are up on the right amount of water for the day, each day.
Yeah, the body recycles all about 10 of the 40,000 glasses of water that is used every day. About 400 gallons. Now, of this amount, only 5 to 6 cups of water are lost in the urine. Another 2 cups is exhaled through the lungs in the form of water vapor. Half cup is ours, and 2 cups are evaporated from the skin through the 2 million sweat glands located there. Now, of the 10 cups of water lost per day, we gain about 3 cups in the food we eat of energy metabolism. The body produces that. Now, this leaves 5.5 cups of water per day that must be replaced by drinking water, and that is just the minimum requirement.
That's what we call the minimum daily requirement, huh? So indeed, we're going to continue to develop the thought, because water is absolutely placed without the medium of water. Hydration is very, very important. If our listeners just get convinced in this one point here, then our purpose for doing this presentation would have been greatly accomplished.
You know, and some people don't even drink 5.5 cups of water a day. They barely drink 1 cup.
Wow.
Now, if you're an average American, you love water. Your bathtub, shower, and washing machine run a river down the drain every day. Now, you like washing on the outside. You keep clean from head to foot. But do you pour enough water inside of you every day to keep it clean also? Or is your body machine chucking laboriously to wash your bloodstream with only a few swallows a day?
Wow.
Now, when there is a deficiency of water, the process of elimination will continue. But to do so, the blood and tissues will be robbed of some of their water content, which will hinder their normal processes. And when that happens, the body actually will go into what we call a drought. And according to your body many cries for water, it tells us there that the capillary beds in some areas will have to close so that some of the slack in capacity is adjusted for. In water shortage and body drought, 66% is taken from the water volume normally held inside the cells. 26% is taken from the volume held outside the cells, and 8% is taken from the blood volume. So the body has to try to conserve on the amount of water that is actually gotten rid of, so that it could hold on to the water that you're not giving it. Now, symptoms of not having enough water include thirst, dry mouth, lethargy, fatigue, mental confusion, reduced skin elasticity, sunken eyes, fever, scanty dark urine, accumulation of urea, creatinine and sodium in the blood, thickening of the blood. You have shock, constipation, kidney and bladder infections and stones. And one of the most common symptoms is headaches.
Also, a person who doesn't drink enough water will typically be warmer when others are colder, because everything gets concentrated within their system. The tendency for kidney stone formation increases because substance get too concentrated and things become very hard upon the kidneys. So we want to be sure to consume the right amount of water each day.
But some people will say, well, I'm not thirsty, so I don't drink water. Well, thirst is not necessarily a good guide in ensuring that we are drinking enough water. Actually, thirst is an inadequate guide to promote sufficient water drinking. Now, a useful gauge in the matter of drinking water is the color of the urine. Proper hydration will make the urine almost colorless. To help, we must establish a drinking pattern. Mm-hmm. We must have a schedule of drinking water.
So you mean we shouldn't go by chance and when I drink water, when I'm close by the water fountain or something?
No, we have to be systematic about drinking water. Otherwise, we won't get to drink it at all. And the best way to do that is to drink water upon arising. let's say about 2 glasses upon arising, and that will give the body a good internal cleansing. Then throughout the day, we keep drinking water, and the amount of water we should drink is half our body weight in ounces. So if I weigh 120 pounds, then I need to drink at least 60 ounces of water a day. Now, if I'm exercising and doing a lot of vigorous activity, which means I'm losing more water through my skin and what have you, then I need to increase my water intake.
Absolutely.
Now, it is best to avoid drinking anything for 10 to 15 minutes before eating and for 1 to 2 hours after meals. And the reason for this is to improve the digestion, because the gastric juice would become diluted so that the food is not really digested properly.
In other words, we do not need to wash down our food with water or liquid, especially when those liquids are cold. It decreases or it stops the process of digestion until the body has sufficient energy to warm that liquid up before it begins to work on the food once again.
Mm-hmm. Some people also substitute what we call caffeine and soda drinks.
Mm-hmm. Is that water?
For their water, but that's not really water. Now, caffeine in itself, the coffee and the tea, they are really diuretics. And instead of replenishing water in our system, what they really do is pull the water out. And if we're not drinking enough water now, that really puts us into in a dehydration area there. So we want to cut back on these things that we do drink and drink more water.
Okay, so water then is, we want to remember the formula for how much water we drink. 1/2 your body weight in ounces. So a 120-pound person would drink 60 ounces, or 8 8 64, that's about eight ounce glasses of water per day. And it's better to spread out your fluid all throughout the day than to try to drink it all in 1 or 2 drink. It will save you a whole lot from running to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
So let's remember, in health and in sickness, pure water is one of heaven's choicest blessings. Its proper use promotes health. It is the beverage which God provided to quench the thirst of animals and man. Drunk freely, it helps to supply the necessities of the system and assist nature to resist disease. And I would like to live with you a quote from the Bible. Revelation 22:17 tells us, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely."
Join us in our next presentation as we continue to look at water as it relates to some of our health conditions. Thank you very much, and God bless you.